Right, today is Mother's Day. Mother's Day. You know, one of the wonderful things that got created were mothers. Mine's long since passed away, but I owe so much. You know, mothers are special and we don't often realize it as we're growing up. We do take them for granted. They're always there. They're always cleaning up behind us. They're always the one that we go to when we're hurting. Yeah, our mothers really are special. And mothers, we do tend to do as they tell us. Even when we don't want to. We all have got sort of rebellious spirits sometimes, but a mother has a way of getting her message across. When we are hurting, we go to mothers because they give us a comfort, a warmth and a security that nobody else can give now. You know, sometimes we have natural mothers that, I don't know, perhaps something's gone wrong somewhere. But you know, God said that when there's sin in the world, things will go wrong. When Adam sinned, you know, things started to go wrong. And even the perfect relationship of mother and child can go wrong sometimes. But the principle of motherly love is so wonderful and so powerful that it's a mirror image, really, of how God loves us, the perfect mother. She'll always love no matter what. She's always there for forgiveness. We can always go to her when we're in trouble. And she's always around. She's always sorting the problems out around us. You know, that's the perfect mother. And we, for our part, need to honour and respect our mothers. They're not always going to be around. I thought my mother was invincible. And you get that sense. Because you grow up with them always there. You grow up with them always for you, never against you. Sometimes we feel they're against us because they tell us that we can't do certain things or shouldn't do certain things. But they're always there. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 3 tells us, "To children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 3. And it says, "Honor your father and mother, and which is the first commandment with promises." Now there's a promise with that commandment. And the promise is that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's a promise that comes with the responsibility of fulfilling that, honouring your parents. And you know, we can, as children and as we're growing up, we can be really wayward. But we can always go back to this. Honour your parents. Honour your parents. Even if you haven't in the past, the God's word is honour your parents. And it says, it's the first commandment with promise. When we go, these days, we've got so many laws, we don't know them. Back in the days of Moses, they set up 10 laws, 10 commandments for us to live by. And then what did the religious people do? They complicated it. They made rules that you can't lift anything on a Sunday, and there's all sorts of things. We've complicated the law, and the law's come in because of sin. These days, we have so many laws. I tried to look on the computer to see how many laws this country has. I couldn't find out. I came across one that said that in 2010, this country created 3,500 new laws in 1 year. Came across another website that says that we break something like 260 laws a year, individually. We break them, law, you know, because we just don't know the laws. There must be literally millions of laws existing over us at this time. This country creates laws. The European community creates laws. The world has laws, international laws. We don't know half of them. We can break laws without realizing it. But that's how it goes. I want to share a little bit about that. I want to start with a statement or a question. Does the law make us good? Does the law make us good? I suppose it ought to, really. But you and I know it doesn't. What do we do in response to the law? Well, I've got a few things I've written down here. We can have an attitude that I want to do the right thing, which in theory makes us obey the law. Because if I want to do the right thing, but what happens when my desire to do the right thing conflicts with the law? I've got problems then. Do I obey the law? Do I do what I feel is right? I might obey the law because I'm afraid to break it. I might be frightened of the consequences. But fear can paralyze us. Fear can make us do nothing. You know, I'm frightened of breaking the law, so I don't do anything. So you sort of treading a narrow path trying to avoid breaking any law. See, the religious people of the New Testament were like that. Some of them, the Pharisees, they got real strict laws, and they've forgotten why they had to follow these laws as strict as anything, but often they didn't know why. The spirit of the law they'd missed. The other reason to obey the law is, well, I might get caught. If I break the law, I might get caught. Now, if there's drivers among you, if you're a driver, and I ask you, put your hands up who'd never exceeded 30 mile an hour in a 30 limit, if you were honest, no hands would go up. Because every single driver will have exceeded 30 mile an hour. That means you broke the law. You broke the law. If you've ever dropped any litter, you broke the law. If you've cycled on a footpath, you broke the law. There's all sorts of things. There's another reason that you don't keep the law, and I've already mentioned it, is you don't know what the law says. You don't know what the law says. But it says that ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we can break the law unintentionally. So we can obey the law or we can break it and we don't know we're doing it. Or you might have various reasons for not doing. You know, there's the speed cameras for drivers. Theory is that you keep to the speed limit. But perhaps you only keep to the speed limit when you know there's a camera about. So why am I going down this route? Well, the Bible talks about the law, and Jesus talked about the law. Now, in Romans chapter 6, Paul was saying that we aren't under the law, but under grace. So, if we're not under law, and we're under grace, does that mean we break the law? Well, Romans also tells us, in chapter 7, verse 12, it says the law is holy. In verse 14, it says the law is spiritual. And in Timothy, it tells us that the law is good. So there's nothing wrong with the law. Nothing wrong with the law. But in Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious. So the law really shouldn't frighten us. It shouldn't really frighten us. So can we ignore the law? Well, you ignore the law at your peril, don't you? You know, if you break the law and you get caught, you're likely to get punished. Of course, one of the reasons that people break the law is that they don't think they'll get caught and therefore not punished. So how do we stand as believers with the law? Or if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse 31, it says, it asks a question and answers it. It says, do we nullify the law through faith? It says, may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. You know, the laws of this land are Bible-based, or were. The laws came into being based on the Bible. We've abandoned that now. The country's abandoned it, and they're putting laws in that are not Bible-based, and have been for some time. So what does Jesus say about the law? Well, in Matthew 5:17, he says, do you think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets? He says, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. See, one of the fulfillments of the law is that sin demands a death penalty. Sin demands a death penalty. And because the law was broken by all of us since Adam, it demanded the death penalty. But to be a stand-in for someone that's guilty, you have to be not guilty. So if you're going to stand in for someone that's guilty of a crime, of a sin, then you've got to be guilt-free. And there's only one that's ever been guilt-free, and that's Jesus. Jesus Christ. He came guilt-free. He lived guilt-free. So he was qualified to take your sin and my sin on himself. And the law demanded death. He demanded a life for sin. So that's why Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus went to the cross to fulfill our debt. And I'm not quite sure where it said it, but it says the debt document of our offences was torn up when Jesus went to the cross. It was torn up. Jesus cleared the debt for us on the cross. So where does that place us? Well, I suppose it places us in the debt of Jesus, really. He did something that he didn't have to do, but something that he needed to do. Because the only way that we were cleared of sin, and as a result of that given access to the Father, would be for us to be cleared of guilt. And Jesus did that by going to the cross. He says, I've paid the price for you. I've paid the debt for you, and you are free. So what are we going to do with that freedom? Well, we're going to go to Jesus. First of all, to thank him. But we're going to follow him, aren't we? Because he's the one that's actually set us free. And he set us free for a purpose. Because he wants us to know him. And he wants to know us. You know, we had the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and then when it comes to the New Testament, Jesus is challenged. He's challenged as to what do we have to do? How do we have to? Because they got loads of laws, like we've loads of laws, but they got loads of what they call religious laws, and they had to follow things really strict. And Jesus says, he's challenged about what laws do we have to follow? Well, he says, I'll simplify it for you. He says, I'll just give you two laws. That's all you need. Two laws, and that'll fulfill everything. One is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. That's the first. The second, he says, is love your neighbor as yourself. He says, everything's fulfilled in those two laws. See, when you love your neighbour as yourself, you don't harm your neighbour. You're not cruel to your neighbour. You're not neglectful of your neighbour. Because if you think you want to do to them what they do to you. Romans 13 verse 10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbour. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. So we bring another element in there, that little word, love. You can follow a set of rules or a set of laws as closely as you possibly can. But if your heart isn't in it, you'll not keep the laws. You'll not keep them. God says his name is love. That's who he is. And Jesus came and says, I am as my Father is. That's why he loves us so much, that he purchased our freedom. That love is what they call agape love. It's what is best for the person loved. What is best for the person loved? Regardless of the one doing the loving and how much it costs them, it's giving the best to the one loved. And that doesn't necessarily mean once. It's giving the best for their needs, for what they need. So, the law really is inadequate because the law does not contain love. It doesn't have that in its recipe. But we said earlier, it says the law is holy, the law is spiritual, and the law is good. It's all those things, but it lacks one thing in its mix. It lacks the desire of the participant to actually follow it. Now, you might be happy with 90% of the laws, but if a law conflicts with what you want to do, you might think in your mind, I can get away with that. I can, you know, I can go and trespass on that land. I can go and take that thing that isn't mine. Yeah, I can go and, I don't know, drop my litter where I want. But unless you have the heart that follows the law, you'll fail. You'll fail in succeeding to follow it in its entirety. But Jesus was bringing the secret of how to fulfill the law without knowing all the rules, without knowing all the law. Because he says, if I put my spirit in you, something's going to happen in you. You're going to sense my love. And that love that you sense from me is then going to operate in you, and you are going to love. Agape love. So, when it says, love God and love your neighbour, it's not a rule that you have to keep because somebody told you to. It's a rule that you keep because it's foundational to how you feel inside. Because you want to bless God. You want to bless your neighbour. You want to do what is good towards others. And we can be very selfish people. We can be very selfish at heart. See, Romans chapter 8 verse 3, it starts off, for what the law could not do. In effect, what Jesus is doing. See, the law cannot change the heart. The law cannot force us. The law can punish us, but it can't force us to obey it. The law cannot catch everybody that breaks the law. It's without any mercy. Very sterile, the law. But Jesus has brought us into a new place. Because now we're living in the spirit of the law. If you catch hold of the spirit of the law, you are not following rules and regulations. One of the things that some of us that grew up in church, in the Methodist church and others, and we were given a set of, you know, they used to look disapproving. Oh, you can't go to the pictures. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you can't do that. I remember an old lady in one of the churches. She's quite disapproving of the way the young people dressed. But she'd come to the church and you'd see her with a war paint on. You know, all this stuff on her face and everything. But you see, it's how she'd been brought up. She'd been brought up that you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. And, well, no. The Bible says that it's for freedom that Christ has made us free. For freedom. Now, if you're coming into freedom, you're not going to be straitjacketed with a number of laws. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us brings us into obedience to the law because our heart is there to obey, to honour our parents, to love our neighbour, to do the right things. It will come naturally because the love of God is in us and working through us. We have a relationship with Him. And as we listen to God and we're prompted by Him and we let Him work in us, He'll tell us what is right and what is wrong. We're still free to obey. Jesus has never taken away from us our freedom of will. He's never taken that away from us, and he said he won't. But he says, I want you to love me like I love you. Now, in our imperfection, that's impossible. It doesn't stop Jesus loving us, but it teaches us how to learn to love. And how we learn to love him, we'll learn to love others as well. It's all part of the recipe that God's putting together in our hearts and in our lives. You see, he talks about faith. Now, faith is a wonderful thing. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is having trust in him. But faith can't work on its own. It says, "For faith without works is dead." Well, says, faith without love is dead. Because faith only works when love is involved. It's faith working through love. And when faith works through love, we're starting to fulfill the law without even knowing we're doing it. There's no better people to live in a country than people who are real Christian believers. Because you won't have any stealing, you won't have any breaking, and you won't have any violence, but you will have a caring society, a society that cares. When you go back into history and look at the way Moses and others, the governments operated, well, the government was the church. They governed the people. And they governed the people under the hand of God. And that's how God intended. Now, over time, the church and the laws have separated. And the church in this country now is told quite often, oh, keep your hands off the Lord. It's nothing to do with you. What laws will you pass? Nothing to do with you. So if the church stands up and says, that is wrong, what you are doing in establishing that law is wrong, they say, go away. Go away. Don't interfere. But go back into history, and it was the church, the people of God established the laws, and it was the laws that God had in place. And I said, we only need two laws. Well, we do. They only need two laws for us. But if we go back to that Timothy 1 verse 9, it says, law is not made for the righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious. So we've got to have the laws to cover the lawless and rebellious. Because they may not break the law because they're afraid of the consequences. They may actually keep the law because they want to. They might just keep the law just because they don't want to get the punishment that comes with breaking it. But the perfect society only needs the two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbour as yourself. When I was growing up, and one or two others will be able to tell you the same thing, you didn't need to lock your doors. You could leave your doors open, your things outside, no problem. People just respected them. They didn't come and break in and steal. That was in the neighbourhoods that we lived in. But now, it's changed. Well, this nation has gone away from God. So, you know, the churches, you've got a few old churches around this area of Yorkshire, they were open. People could go in and look around and worship and whatever during the day. There was nobody there. You could just go in and that was it. Now, they have to keep them locked up. because people will go in and wreck things, steal and whatever else. But if we're living and loving through love, through the love of Jesus, then we are fulfilling the law. We will fulfill the law. Matthew 7 verse 12 says, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. We said that the message of Jesus Christ is a simple one. It's not complicated. The world complicates it because of sin and its consequences. But the law of Jesus Christ is simple. Love God and love one another. And so much will transform if that only would happen in a complete society. See, if we always did this, many of the hurtful things in society would be stopped at source. You look at this love, this agape love, it has power. Love has power. You think sometimes love's a weak thing, but no. Agape love has power. It can overcome hate and jealousy and envy and malice. Love has power. It's got a strength about it. It can overcome. It can lift up. It can lift up hearts and lives. And yet, while it's doing that, it can have a gentleness. It can have just a... We said it's Mother's Day today. A mother can be so strong, yet so gentle. We think sometimes it's the man of the house that is the strength in a family. And when you look at it really, it isn't. It's the mother. The mother is the one with the strength. It's the mother that holds the family together quite often. Because the mother is there with a heart. God's placed love in a mother for her family, for her children. And that will come through at the difficult times. Now, so we have dysfunctional families these days. And things go wrong. But really, the mother is the strength in the family because the mother connects with that child. And that child will come to its mother when it hurts, when it falls down, when it needs comfort. It's the mother that tends to give that. I'm not saying that the father is not inputting into this. And I may be at odds with some people on this one, but I feel in my own heart that the mother is the important anchor stone in a family. The father is the head of the family, and above that is God. So the father brings in the anointing and the authority. But the love and the warmth is through the mother. Love brings compassion to be able to feel and to understand. You know, sometimes a child hurts and it doesn't know why it hurts. It needs someone around that was prepared to work out and understand why it hurts. Love has stickability, it has endurance. A lot of things are here for a time, a phase, a fashion. But it says love never fails. Love endures through the sticky times, through the difficult times. We sometimes have friends and we fall out with the friends and we don't see them again, perhaps ever or for a long time. But love doesn't break friendships with offence. Offences come when we're human. We have different feelings on different days, even different times of the day. But God's love never fails, and we should never fail. We should stick in with the love of Jesus in our lives, because it is the fulfillment of the law. Faith working through love. You and me, we're in that. Faith working through love. Whatever this person, whatever the situation, when we reach out to these round here, we're not just going knocking on doors saying, come here and have a look in what we're doing in here. We're saying, you want to know who Jesus is. Come and taste who Jesus is. We want to share with you. And when they're coming here, they need to sense that love. They need to sense the love of Jesus in this place. And it's not in the building, it'll be in us. And we should be just sharing that in some way with them. We've all different personalities, all different talents, but in the mix, we should be able to make people welcome. And at some point, we should be able to go out and share with them out there the love of Jesus. Because we've got generations now that have never tasted Jesus. Never known about him. They've not been taught in Sunday school. They've not been taught in school assemblies. Even in the religious subjects that they get, it's just one subject within a few others. One topic within a few others. But Jesus is alive. And his love has transformed you and me. He picked us up when we didn't deserve to be picked up. We didn't deserve for him to lift us up and set us on our feet. We didn't deserve him to come into our hearts and lives. We didn't deserve him to guide us and help us. But he does. Because he's perfect love. When it says God is love, don't miss that. When it says God is love, he loves us no matter what. You know, I've come at certain times, I thought, oh, God, I've blown it. You know, that's... And we watch, NCIS? And the chap in charge, every so often, he'll smack the other one, telling him off like a child. God will sometimes just clip our ears at times because we need it. But he'll never stop loving us. He'll never stop loving us. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what. And he's wanting us to taste his love in us. And he wants us to share that with others. Start with your family. Start with your friends. Show them that love. You know, you might have a neighbour next door, the next one that lives alone, that never sees anybody. Let them see you. You don't have to go and preach to them, but just be aware. Just be aware and share. Share the love of Jesus. Share it in a real way. A real way that means something. I'm sure that people will respond in this area when they see something real happening. You know, we've got a wonderful privilege here. It's in a sense, it's a bit like virgin territory. I don't think they've had much around here for a long, long time. But it's about time they started hearing about Jesus. We're not just fresh tenants in a building that's been empty a year. We're here for a purpose. We're here to share the love of Jesus with them and to show that it's real. So two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Make it real. love your neighbour as yourself. And if you want to know who your neighbour is, read about the Good Samaritan. Read that story. And that'll just refresh your memory. So God bless you today. You're blessed that you have a mother, or you've had a mother. She might not have been a perfect mother. She might not be a perfect mother. But you have a responsibility to honour her. It doesn't say she has to be perfect before you honour her. How do I honour her? Well, start with loving her. Start with loving her with that agape love. That will make the difference. So God bless you. I hope you have been blessed with what God shared with me. I'm passing it on. I'm just the messenger. But I need to learn. I need to learn God's love more and more and more. Because He lifted me. He's done things for me that just blow me away. And He'll do things for you. You know, we go into school sometimes. We're struggling at the moment. We Gideon's and presenting Bibles to children, and we have a few minutes to share. And I remember in the early days of doing it, one of the things that I mentioned was that we give them a New Testament, and I hold it to them and says, this is a roadmap. This is a roadmap for your life. I says, and I just invite them to look at it, to read it, and find out their way for their life in that roadmap. So use your roadmap. Get into your roadmap. And find God's plan for your life. Amen.